What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch with CJ Johnson.
Yeah, CJ's always got recommendations on things to while away the time. CJ, good evening to you. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Thank you very much, Philip. Lovely to be here.
Great to have you back with us as well. Now, we've got three things. This is A Robbery, the Netflix documentary series, four-part series on an art heist, of all things. The Godmother, a French-language movie with Isabelle Huppert. And then a look at Mike Nichols through a new book by Mark Harris. Mike Nichols was, of course, the film director who made The Graduate, one of the most successful movies of all time. Let's start with This Is a Robbery. It's a Netflix documentary series, four parts.
Yes, but not about murder.
So there's no dead woman in a forest?
No dead woman in a forest. Obviously, well, not obviously, but Netflix has, over the past, I don't know, 5 years to 10 years, become synonymous with these really gripping true crime documentary series, Making a Murderer, blah, 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 blah. There's been heaps of them. And maybe, you know, the format's getting a little stale, but then something like this comes along, which isn't at all, because it's not about murder. It's about an art heist, and a very peculiar and interesting art heist, an art heist that deserves this series.
Yeah, you should tell us about it, yes, because it happened on, what, St. Patrick's Day 1990?
Yes.
And some extraordinarily valuable pieces disappeared. Tell us about the crime itself.
So this was a heist at the Isabel Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston, as you say, on St. Patrick's Day in 1990. The Isabel Stewart Gardner Museum was a private museum established by Isabel Stewart Gardner sometime in the late 1800s, I believe, in Boston, and she was a woman of means. She had all sorts of money, and she dedicated the money to building this unbelievably stunning building and then filling it with incredible art, art from the great masters from all over the world.
Which were her works.
Yeah, yeah, she owned them. Yeah, it was a private museum. And so it was a real unique anomaly. I mean, you find these kind of museums in London, in Paris, in New York, I suppose. But this one was in Boston, and it contained a world-class collection, but served by security, as it turned out. I mean, this kind of collection really should have had, you know, the absolute tightest security you could imagine. But in fact, very often it just had two guys overnight, and often one of them wouldn't come in, so it would only have one guy. And the guy that was on the particular night it got robbed was stoned, as he very often was. See, the security just was not worthy of the collection, and vice versa. And it was also this thing of it happened on St. Patrick's Day, and Boston is the most Irish of the American cities by far, and St. Patrick's Day in Boston is like, it's bigger than Christmas. It's huge. It's the biggest St. Patrick's Day in the world and the biggest St. Patrick's Day parade in the world. So that definitely seems to factor into it somehow, that maybe it's connected. And the people who stole the art dressed up as cops with fake mustaches, and the way the crime happened is really sort of dodgy and interesting. And so this series, with a very light touch, very upbeat touch, lays out this crime for you and then starts showing you all the potential suspects, because the paintings themselves have never been recovered.
No, there were 13 of them stolen that night. They're said to be worth something like $500 million and there were works by Rembrandt, Vermeer, Manet, Degas, some of the most expensive and venerated old masters and modern masters in the world. 13 of them. And they've never been recovered, as you say. Two men in fake moustaches posing as police turned up after 1 a.m. How did they get in?
They rang the doorbell. They rang the doorbell, and they were let in because they were dressed as cops by the security guard. And then the security guard was bound and gagged, and then they took their time. They took an hour, basically, to cut out a lot of the canvases out of the frames and roll them up and take them out of there. So, as I say, I mean, it's hard to fathom. I mean, in 1990, the security was different then. Everything was different then. Phones, blah, 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 internet, blah, blah, blah. But there was so much about it that was dodgy. So, of course, the spotlight first instantly shone on the security guard himself. You know, was this an inside job?
Yeah.
But then it kept shifting, and there were all sorts of other intriguing, and the personalities that come into the mix of this thing are really quite interesting, because along the way, we start to meet lifer art thieves as they become suspects. And there are people out there who that's what they do. Their entire lives are dedicated to stealing art. And often they'll get caught and they'll go to prison for a spell and they'll come out and they'll try and steal some more art. And it starts to become intriguing about their motives because they're not necessarily in it for the money.
This is a robbery. It's in four parts. It's on Netflix. This is something from it.
There were 13 works taken.
Most important, A Storm on the Sea of Galilee.
It's the only Rembrandt seascape in existence.
This was huge, not just locally, but internationally.
In Dublin, stolen art was used by the IRA as international currency.
In Boston, Whitey Bulger provided the IRA with weapons. The painting could be in the Middle East.
Japan.
South America.
What? It's mind-blowing.
Yes, it is. It is.
It is quite mind-boggling, and it uses really good recreations, and all the characters are interesting. Boston's an interesting place.
All right, now, The Godmother, this is a French movie. It's in cinemas from next week, and it stars the evergreen Isabelle Huppert.
And she really is evergreen. I think Isabelle Huppert might be edging towards 70, if not already at 70.
She hasn't stopped working, though. She's in movies every year.
Yeah, she's in at least two movies a year, sometimes three. She loves to work. She's very prolific. But it is worth mentioning this age thing because she is close to 70, but she routinely plays women in their late 40s or early 50s, as she does in this film, because she can get away with it, so why not? It's acting. So she plays a Parisian police interpreter who helps the French cops listen in when conversations are taking place among criminals in Arabic. She speaks Arabic, so she's an Arabic police interpreter. But she finds herself getting in some financial strife and one way or another ends up becoming a drug baroness selling marijuana. And this is be one thing, you know, so it's Isabelle Huppert Breaking Bad in Paris. But the extra complication that makes the thing really sort of click is that not only is she working for the cops and not only is she dealing marijuana on the side with the very type of criminals that she's listening in on for the cops, but her boyfriend is a cop who finds himself starting to pursue Mama Weed, this person they know is a female running a drug operation, and of course it's her. So it's a neat setup. It's very it's very upbeat, it's very fun, and she's really, really good. You know, she's good at comedy.
Okay, The Godmother, it's in cinemas, as I say, from next week, and if you... Well, of course, you've seen an Isabelle Huppert film. If you haven't, start now.
See this one. It's fun. And she's in every scene. You know, she's delightful. She carries the movie.
Now, you wanted to talk about Mike Nichols. Mike Nichols is a very famous film director. He made The Graduate, amongst many other films. And The Graduate came at the beginning of his career. There's a new book out by Mark Harris about Mike Nichols, a biography. Tell me why. Explain The Graduate to, well, maybe people have seen it, maybe they've not, but it came out in the late 60s, didn't it? It was a massive hit. Why was it? What was the story of The Graduate and why did it make such a splash? Because it mightn't seem obvious on the face of it.
Yeah, The Graduate came out in 1967 and for many people it marked a turning point in the history of cinema, basically. Mike Nichols is a really interesting guy and this book is fantastic and a really breezy, fun read. So he started as a kind of improvisational comedian with Elaine May, Nichols and May, and they became superstars in their particular world. And then they both branched out and both became feature film directors. So his first feature film was Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. And that was a big hit and got Oscar nominations and this, that, and the other. It was a big, big deal. And so he was on his way. He was made. And so his second film was The Graduate, and The Graduate, and this will stun you and our listeners because it stunned me, even though I think I knew it somewhere, I'd forgotten it. By the end of its first theatrical run in 1967, The Graduate was the third highest grossing film in the history of movies, only after Gone with the Wind and The Sound of Music. But unlike those two films, which are those type of films, The Graduate was modern and fresh and sexy and appealed to a whole new younger crowd. And I think that's why it is such a seminal film.
Tell me the story of The Graduate. Tell us the story and then why you think it made such a hit.
Okay, so Dustin Hoffman plays Benjamin Braddock, a young man who finishes college on the East Coast of the United States and goes home in the summertime to California to his parents, trying to decide what to do because he's got a college degree, but he has no idea what to do. The famous line is his father's friend says, "My boy, one word for you, plastics."
That's right.
Yeah. So he doesn't know what to do. So in his kind of indolence, he starts having an affair with that guy's wife, with the guy who tells plastics. His parents' friends, one of them is Mrs. Robinson, the Robinsons, and he starts having an affair with Mrs. Robinson, played by Anne Bancroft. So immediately that was kind of breaking taboo stuff because 1967 was only a few years away from 1965, and films up until about 1965 wouldn't dare have touched this type of material. This was considered risque or forward-thinking or very, very modern.
So it was modern. It was modern. We're talking about the 60s here when, you know, Free Love and Woodstock and all of that's a part of what we think about Woodstock later, of course. But so that was the thing about The Graduate. It kind of cut through. It was new. It was fresh.
Yes,
yeah.
And this was a Hollywood studio movie. This wasn't some little indie.
Wasn't an independent film, no.
No, this was a major studio movie, and major studio movies just weren't dealing with this kind of material. And also, Mike Nichols' approach was fresh. He used Dustin Hoffman, who was not a traditional leading man. I mean, in the 60s, it was still Rock Hudson and, you know, the Robert Redford type, you know, handsome, tall men, and Dustin Hoffman was not that guy. And he used, instead of using a traditional score, he used Simon and Garfunkel songs from beginning to end. He had a song score of popular folk artists, you know, which really appealed to the youth. People would go back and see this film over and over again. It was that kind of movie.
Here it is.
Sit down, Benjamin.
Mrs. Robinson, if you don't mind my saying so, this conversation is getting a little strange. Now, I'm sure that Mr. Robinson will be here any minute now.
No.
What?
My husband will be back quite late. He should be gone for several hours.
Oh, my God.
Pardon?
Oh, no, Mrs. Robinson. Oh, no.
What's wrong?
Mrs. Robinson, you didn't expect...
What?
I mean, you didn't really think I'd do something like that.
Like what?
What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson. Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me. Aren't you?
Yeah. It still works, doesn't it?
Oh, it is such a good movie. Have you seen it?
Yes.
In the past, I don't know, 5 or 10 years?
Not in the past 5 years, no.
It really still works. Okay. It is excellent.
I'll have a look at it. All right. Now, this is a Robbie. Netflix is on now, four-part documentary
series. Have a look at that. Episode is about an hour.
Have a look at that. Stars for The Godmother?
Three.
Three stars. Mm. Okay. And Mike Nichols, yes, well... A fascinating life. It also had, as you say, CJ, one of the great soundtracks of all time as well. Thanks, CJ. Good on you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.